Radio News Corps reports.
The Commission on Human Rights concluded its annual session for 2005 on April 22nd, after having debated a wide range of human rights issues under its agenda items, from cross-cutting thematic issues to country situations to the organization of its work.
During the six-week session, which began on March 14, 2005, the Commission adopted 86 resolutions, 16 decisions, and four statements by its chairperson, Makarim Wibisono of Indonesia.
With regard to the proposed reform of the Secretary General in the area of human rights, the Commission, while taking into account the report of the Secretary General, decided to establish an open-ended working group to be chaired by the current chairperson, which would convene a five-day intersessional meeting in June 2005 to reflect on the recommendations on human rights contained in the report of the Secretary General.
It also decided to convene on a one-day special session to formally adopt the outcome of the open-ended working group and to transmit it to the Secretary General through the Economic and Social Council.
The UN Secretary General Kofi Annan has issued his own report on United Nations reform, calling for the creation of a Human Rights Council in place of the Commission and recommending other major changes.
In his address to the Commission on Human Rights, delivered at Geneva on April 7, 2005, the UN Secretary General Kofi Annan expressed the following as regards the reform of the UN human rights system.
I turn now to the most dramatic of my proposals. As you know, I have recommended that member states replace the Commission on Human Rights with a smaller Human Rights Council.
The Commission in its current form has some notable strengths. It can take action on country situations. It can appoint country rapporteurs and other experts. It works closely with civil society groups.
At the same time, the Commission's ability to perform its tasks has been overtaken by new needs and undermined by the politicization of its sessions and the selectivity of its work. We have reached a point at which the Commission's declining credibility has cast a shadow on the reputation of the United Nations system as a whole, and where piecemeal reforms will not be enough.
A Human Rights Council would offer a fresh start. My basic premise is that the main intergovernmental body concerned with human rights should have a status, authority, and capability commensurate with the importance of its work. The United Nations has councils that deal with its two other main purposes, security and development. So creating a full-fledged council for human rights offers a conceptual and architectural clarity. But what is most important is for the new body to be able to carry out the tasks required of it.
I have proposed that the council be a standing body, able to meet when necessary rather than for only 6 weeks each year, as at present. It should have an explicitly defined function as a chamber of peer review. Its main task would be to evaluate the fulfillment by all states of all their human rights obligations. This would give concrete expression to the principle that human rights are universal and indivisible. Equal attention will have to be given to civil, political, economic, social, and cultural rights, as well as the right to development. And it should be equipped to give technical assistance to states and policy advice to states and UN bodies alike.
Under such a system, every member state could come up for review on a periodic basis. Any such rotation should not, however, impede the Council from dealing with massive and gross violations that might occur. Indeed, the Council will have to be able to bring urgent crises to the attention of the world community.
The new Human Rights Council must be a society of the committed. It must be more accountable and more representative. That is why I have suggested that members be elected by a two-thirds majority of the General Assembly, and that those elected should have a solid record of commitment to the highest human rights standards. Being elected by a two-thirds majority of the General Assembly should help make members more accountable and the body as a whole more representative.
A council will not overcome all of the tensions that accompany our handling of human rights. A degree of tension is inherent in the issues. But the council will allow for a more comprehensive and objective approach, and ultimately, it will produce more effective assistance and protections, and that is the yardstick by which we must be measured. I urge member states to reach early agreements in principle and establish a human rights council. They can then turn to the details such as its size, composition, and mandate, its relationship to other UN bodies, and how to retain the best of the existing mechanisms, such as the special rapporteurs and the close ties with NGOs. Consultations with the High Commissioner will naturally be a very central part of this process, and she stands ready to assist. Let us all do our part to make this happen, and show that the United Nations takes the cause of human rights as seriously as it does those of security and of development.
The human rights newsletter of the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, RESPECT, has compiled the following views on the reform of the UN human rights system.
Ian Sederman from the International Commission of Jurists said the reform of the Commission should be ambitious. There should be a human rights body that sits permanently, not only for 6 weeks, as is now the case, he said. Such a new commission will have more resources, more autonomy, and less politics. If human rights issues represent a UN priority, Much more money must be allocated to it, he said.
According to Cederman, the reform initiative represents an opportunity to move away from mistakes of the past. He said his organization still has high expectations of the commission, especially regarding the establishment of a mechanism to deal with human rights and terrorism.
For Louise Doswald-Beck, professor of law at the Graduate Institute of International Studies in Geneva, there was a lot of time wasted during the commission. The time given to special rapporteurs, who are key players, is too short, she said. Addressing a specific recommendation of the high-level panel, namely a call for universal membership in the commission, she said that welcoming more countries would further paralyze the institution rather than improving its action.
Too much of a focus on reform at this commission session is not necessarily universally welcomed. Some NGOs fear that there is a risk that the commission will focus more on the high-level panel's report than on its, quote, normal work.
Eric Tistunet, commissioner secretary, said such fears may be misplaced. This will indeed be the reform session. This does not automatically mean that all the time will be recorded to these discussions, he stated.
Time management, on the other hand, is still a problem at the commission, according to Tistunet. This year, and due to the increasing number of NGOs and national human rights institutions that want to take part in the session, there will be difficulties in satisfying everybody, said Tistunet. This growing interest in the work of the commission would seem to belie the assertion of some that the panel is irrelevant. Tistunet recalls that despite its flaws, the commission is unique in bringing together so many representatives of civil society and providing them with a global tribune.
In her statement to the opening meeting of the present session, High Commissioner Louise Arbour suggested that this interest in the work of the international human rights system was key to the making of any reform meaningful.
Quote, at no time, perhaps, has change been more discussed than now, she said. Quote, increasingly, that discussion includes the voices of right holders who, until recently, did not perceive themselves as such. Now they do, expressing heightened, legitimate expectations and asking, pointedly, what more will be done to ensure that their rights are reflected in the realities of their lives.
Outlining her vision for a new commission, Ms. Arbour said, so far, we have fallen short in the task of implementing human rights.
She called on the commission to abandon the sporadic and selective approach to human rights diplomacy and develop more effective approaches that allow for dispassionate analysis and focused, contextualized calls for action, together with sustained, constructive attention in order to help resolve issues that are our collective concern and responsibility.
In his report on UN reform entitled Enlarger Freedom, Towards Development, Security, and Human Rights for All, dated March 21, 2005, Secretary General Kofi Annan makes a series of recommendations.
He calls for, among other things,
strengthening the office of the High Commissioner for Human Rights. The High Commissioner has been asked to submit a plan of action within 60 days on how member states' commitment to human rights can be matched by resources to strengthen the office's mandate.
Giving the High Commissioner a more active role in the deliberations of the Security Council and of the proposed Peacebuilding Commission, with emphasis on the implementation of relevant provisions in Security Council resolutions.
Making human rights treaty bodies more effective. The report recommends that the harmonized guidelines on reporting to all human rights treaty bodies should be finalized and implemented so that these bodies can function as a unified system.
Providing more resources and staff, including stronger capacity to train country teams within the OHCHR to make the, quote, Action 2 program a success. Action 2 is designed to equip UN interagency country teams to work with member states at their request to bolster their national human rights promotion and protection systems.
Replacing the Commission on Human Rights with a smaller standing Human Rights Council. On this point, his proposals are specified in the report. They are as follows.
The Commission on Human Rights has given the international community a universal human rights framework, comprising the Universal Declaration on Human Rights, the two international covenants, and other core human rights treaties.
During its annual session, the Commission draws public attention to human rights issues and debates, provides a forum for the development of United Nations human rights policy, and establishes a unique system of independent and expert special procedures to observe and analyze human rights compliance by theme and by country.
The Commission's close engagement with hundreds of civil society organizations provides an opportunity for working with civil society that does not exist elsewhere.
Yet, the Commission's capacity to perform its tasks has been increasingly undermined by its declining credibility and professionalism. In particular, states have sought membership of the Commission not to strengthen human rights, but to protect themselves against criticism or to criticize others. As a result, the credibility deficit has developed, which casts a shadow on the reputation of the United Nations system as a whole.
If the United Nations is to meet the expectations of men and women everywhere, and indeed, if the organization is to take the cause of human rights as seriously as those of security and development, then member states should agree to replace the Commission on Human Rights with a smaller, standing Human Rights Council.
Member states would need to decide if they want the Human Rights Council to be a principal organ of the United Nations or a subsidiary body of the General Assembly. But in either case, its members would be elected directly by the General Assembly, by a two-thirds majority of members present and voting. The creation of the Council would accord human rights a more authoritative position, corresponding to the primacy of human rights in the Charter of the United Nations.
Member states should determine the composition of the Council and the term of office of its members. Those elected to the Council should undertake to abide by the highest human rights standards.
A group of human rights organizations in consultative status with the UN Economic and Social Council have released a joint statement as regards the reform of the UN human rights system proposed by the Secretary General.
Amnesty International, Association for the Prevention of Torture, Baha'i International, Center on Housing Rights and Evictions, Colombian Commission of Jurists, Franciscans International, Human Rights Watch, International Commission of Jurists, International Service for Human Rights, Lutheran World Federation, Organisation Mondiale contre la Torture, Quaker UN Office and Rights Australia welcome the strong reaffirmation in the Secretary General's report entitled In Larger Freedom, that human rights and the rule of law are integral components of the vital and achievable reform goals for the Millennium Summit next September.
These organizations express the following.
We share the concerns of the Secretary General that the Commission on Human Rights lacks credibility. For years, NGOs have been exposing the shortcomings of the UN's main human rights body, including its inability to address many situations of gross and systematic human rights violations around the world.
The Commission on Human Rights has been undermined by a number of actions, including by states seeking election to the Commission not to strengthen human rights, but to protect themselves against criticism, or to criticize others, by states using procedural ploys to prevent debate on legitimate human rights concerns, by the undermining and lowering of human rights standards and norms, and by the unacceptable selectivity and double standards that have seen many situations of grave human rights concern ignored.
As the Secretary General himself told us, these trends have stained the reputation of the UN.
We welcome this opportunity to examine the achievements and the failures of the Commission, and to establish a system that responds swiftly to the needs of victims of human rights violations and their defenders.
Any reform must result in a stronger UN human rights system. Reform must lead to the principal UN human rights body addressing systematically and effectively all human rights violations in all countries on the basis of expert and independent information, including from treaty bodies, special procedures, UN country teams, and the Office of the High Commissioner.
Non-governmental organizations and human rights defenders supplement official sources through their knowledge and experience working with and for victims. The human rights system must draw on all these sources of information.
The effectiveness and legitimacy of any human rights body depends in large part on its members' demonstrated human rights commitment, their readiness to be held accountable for their human rights obligations, and their effective cooperation with human rights mechanisms.
By cooperation, we mean responding fully and promptly to communications, facilitating visits by special procedures, including through the issuance of standing invitations, by implementing their recommendations, and by submitting timely reports to the treaty bodies.
The new body must be conceived to attract as members those that have a demonstrated commitment to the highest human rights standards. The mandate and working methods of the body must also be conceived to contribute to legitimacy and effectiveness.
Our organizations support the call of the Secretary General to replace the Commission on Human Rights with a new body that has greater authority by being given a higher status in the UN, and that, as a standing body, is able to meet whenever necessary to address human rights issues around the world.
We call on states to make rapidly a commitment to establish such a new human rights body. We call on states to set up an inclusive process involving civil society to discuss and shape the details of the new body.
A new permanent body should provide the international community an ability to
respond quickly to human rights crises year-round through monitoring, adopting resolutions, and alerting the international community.
To respond effectively to early warning by acting preventatively within the UN system and its agencies and the international community on the basis of the reports of the High Commissioner for Field Presences, monitors and missions, and reports from special procedures and NGOs.
Ensure follow-up and implementation of country-specific commitments and decisions, and recommendations from special procedures and treaty bodies. And
overall, provide a more comprehensive supervisory framework and continue to develop human rights standards and norms.
NGOs make a crucial contribution to the activities of all parts of the UN human rights system. Non-governmental organizations must have full opportunity to participate in the work of the new human rights body, at least at the same level and on the same basis as in the present commission.
Special procedures, including country and thematic special rapporteurs, independent experts, and working groups, have emerged as one of the most creative and practical tools of the commission.
The system of special procedures is an integral part of any UN human rights system and should be not only maintained, but significantly strengthened in any new body.
The present commission can proudly claim credit for the development and the adoption of numerous key human rights instruments, including the Universal Declaration of Human Rights and the Two Covenants. The standard-setting role of the commission must be preserved in the new human rights body.
Victims also rely on the growing impact of the human rights treaty monitoring bodies. Yet, especially with the increasing ratification of human rights treaties, these expert bodies face a severe overload. States, parties, and the Secretary General must work in concert with NGOs and other stakeholders to strengthen the treaty bodies to function as a strong, professional, and unified system, with members that clearly have the highest competence, independence, and commitment.
We also share a vision of the leadership role of the High Commissioner for Human Rights and her office in human rights protection and capacity building, expressed especially through an expanded and more meaningful role for human rights field presences.
The High Commissioner's office is vital in helping to transform the work of special procedures and treaty bodies into change on the ground, as well as in the UN's work in conflict prevention and crisis response. We look forward to the plan that the High Commissioner will present to the Secretary General by the 20th of May. The OHCHR receives a paltry 2% of the regular UN budget. The gap between expectations and resources is enormous. The High Commissioner's plan of action must lead to states providing a dramatic increase in regular funding for the office, so it is equipped to exercise its protection and capacity-building leadership role in countries around the world.
Today we have a rare opportunity to bring about fundamental improvement in the human rights system, based on a clear vision that the protection of human rights is at the core of the United Nations. We join the Secretary General in calling on member states to rise to this challenge and to swiftly translate words into deeds.
This information has been provided by the official website of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, the UN Web Services Section Department of Public Information, and the International Commission of Jurists.
This program has been produced by Radio Nice Corps with the collaboration of the Shell Center for International Human Rights at Yale Law School, and edited and post-produced in our studios in Madrid on May 1st, 2005.